I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
You're muted.
Here.
Still can't hear you, Councilmember Wisnowski.
I'm speaking for Mr. Wisnowski, and he is here visually.
You know, I was just saying, just use the space bar, it'll work, right? Well, my space bar didn't work.
Okay.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Councilmember Stout has been excused.
Councilmember De Leon.
You're muted.
Councilmember Page.
Here. I think the key is you have to give it a 3-second ignition.
Okay, we have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. So I would accept a motion to accept the agenda.
Make a motion to accept the agenda. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we have two proclamations today. It's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month as well as National Recovery Month, and those proclamations are in your packet. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion for the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Public comment, there will be no oral public comments. They were due in to Brenda by 5 p.m. yesterday. The first item on the agenda is an ordinance amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code section 8.24.220 relating to moorage and anchorage restrictions on Lake Sawyer. And we had some help with this, and there was a, so it's on the last page of the Black Diamond Municipal Code is the changes in red. And we were going to put the hours from dusk to dawn because that's what our park hours are. And then after a mooring buoy, we were going to strike with the permission of the owner of the pier dock or mortgage buoy, because we decided that was unnecessary and it might be complicated to find out if you had their permission or not. So that, so if you decide to pass this tonight, those are two changes that are made to the Black Diamond Municipal Code. And the reason this is on the agenda is we got lots of complaints about a really large boat on the lake that was staying overnight and leaving it unattended over during the week and coming on the weekends. And so we wanted to amend the code so that, and plus he was in the boating lanes at the beginning when he was first there, which was very dangerous. So anyway, we just wanted to amend the municipal code to protect us from having those kind of boats. So even if he came, they came on the lake and were on the lake, they would have to be off the lake by dusk. And so we figured that then we, Councilmember Deedy.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, not just for this gentleman that was mooring his boat on the lake for an extended period of time. We just don't want people to bring their boat out, leave it, you know, and then have access back to their vehicle and then, you know, come back a day or two later and hop on their boat again. That all of that space they're taking up takes up an area where people can enjoy when they're out there for a day. So it just made sense to write this up and get that on the books so that people know that you can't just take your boat and leave it on the lake for extended amount of days or, you know, so they can just, you know, go out there, enjoy the lake for the day, and then take their boat home with them.
So, do we have any other discussion?
Mayor, I would just make one point if I could.
Yep. Yeah.
The new language in subsection I regarding the overnight moorage, that as we've discussed, or as the mayor was mentioning, including the hours of, or between the hours of dusk and dawn, that will be consistent with Title 986, 150, which also prohibits overnight moorage without a permit from the city's parks director. So this would just sort of be a little bit more specific in outlaw or in prohibiting that overnight moorage, except when tied to a privately owned pier, dock, or mooring buoy.
Right. So. Right. I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1148. Thanks. Amending Black Diamond Municipal Code section 8.24.220. Second.
I'd like to have further discussion.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Once we have the motion and the second, then we can discuss it.
Excellent.
Did we get a second?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, sorry. So Councilmember Page?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the right venue to have this discussion, but I've expressed some concerns about the safety on the lake in past council meetings, and I see it firsthand. So I'd like to maybe understand what's the right venue for us to address, you know, for lack of better term, crowd control and unsafe behavior on the lake.
Well, we could have a work session if you want to do that.
Okay.
Or you could talk to Jamie. She has some thoughts about that too. So you could talk to the police chief.
Excellent. Okay, I'll start with Jamie then.
Okay, Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, and if I may, I recall what was said by Councilmember Page a few sessions ago. About it being more along the lines of like the wakes and the water and kind of those public swimming areas, if I'm not mistaken, because I also know that this was a few questions that a few other residents along the lake in particular raised. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, I think there's also some interest in making sure that we take this to the appropriate committees. If this is related to planning, for example, then later on for public works, in addition to just enforcement, which would then be in our chiefs in the Black Diamond Police's domain. So it looks like there are other staff who'd be weighing in on this, but I appreciate that you are bringing that up to council. So I'm hoping that, yes, in the near future, we might be able to get some other work around other very important issues pertaining to lake safety. This not being the only one, but certainly being one of the ones most pressing on people's minds, especially because we've seen such an increase in need for addressing some lakeside safety issues.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Unmuted myself there. I agree, Christiana and Councilmember Page. You know, we definitely got to figure out what we're going to be doing on the lake for the safety of the community, the boats, the residents around the lake as well. I would, you know, suggest and welcome Chief, you know, any suggestions that she has as well, and even looking at other lakes' rules and regulations that they have, lake taps and so on, like, you know, Sammamish. Obviously, there might be a little bit bigger lakes than Lake than our lake, but trying to figure out what we can do as our city grows. I mean, I'm with you, Councilmember Page, on that one as well. And it might be something in our safety meeting that we need to discuss, because I do believe that we are all looking, you know, what we can do to increase our marine force and things like that as well. So great discussion to have that in our committee is also.
Council. Mayor, would go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you want me to take the lead and maybe just schedule some kind of a meeting or with you and whoever else was to participate? Or Brenda, does that look, because it have to be a work study if there's more than two council people that would like to be involved?
No, if it's just two, we can have three council people be involved without it being a majority.
Okay.
So
I'll leave it. You might want to check with Barbara, because that's probably part of hers too.
For sure.
Councilmember Page?
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on Councilmember Oglesby's point, which is, yeah, we should look at Lake Taps, Lake Sammamish, Lake Meridian and stuff. But other than Lake Meridian, the point is, those lakes are larger and they have controls in place. Our lake is small and it's maxing out. And I guess that's my real concern. And I'm going to be really unpopular with a lot of people probably in making this comment, but I have some real concerns with the size of waves that are being thrown off from the environmental standpoint. I have a bulkhead, so it just is a little annoyance, but other areas of the lake where there's no erosion control, I gotta believe it's gonna have a long-term impact if that continues. So anyways, like I said, I'll probably be a little unpopular on that comment, but so be it.
Councilmember Deedy?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not sure who all is in the safety committee, but maybe that's someplace that can start discussing that and then get input from Barb as well. But my other suggestion is there a group or, you know, one Fish and Wildlife or whoever comes out and assess the lake and says, you know, your speed limit should be this, or, you know, erosion is happening, so, you know, cut the speed limit of the boats down, or, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I guess that's the part where the work study should come into and start digging into, you know, what can happen on the lake to make everybody happy, you know, not just the homeowners out there, but people that come out to enjoy the lake. I know, you know, we as a family enjoy swimming out there, not me necessarily, I'm not much of a water bug, but my husband and daughter love it. And Mayor Benson and Janie Edelman are courteous enough to let us use their water, their boat launch area. But we've been out there during boat time, and it's impossible to be in the swim area during boat time. The waves are so big and so hard on you trying to swim that it's just impossible. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you limit how many boats are on the lake at a time. I don't know, you know, so once the discussion starts, I think, you know, all of that will be answered and public input will come in, I'm sure, from lake residents and people who enjoy boating on there. So I think as soon as you get that going, you know, summer's almost over. I'm assuming another month of it. Hopefully we can solve that this year and get some rules and regulations out for the beginning of boating season next year.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll make it brief because it looks like Barb Kincaid just turned on our video and maybe has a few more pieces to put in. I would just also suggest that when we're talking about lakes, we could even think about the nearby lake as well with Lake Wilderness, and just the fact that they have such a different approach to boats and which kinds of boats are allowed on the waterfront, that it seems like that might be another good place to sort of compare where we might go in the future with this. To that end, I know on the opposite end, even though this might contradict a little bit of what Councilmember Page was suggesting about the wakes and how large the, you know, or just how many people are using the lake actually, would be to look more at even what the public access might look like, because I know there's still a concern at the end of the day too, that those who don't have access to private docks feel a little bit like, you know, they're still not able to enjoy the lake. So we have these two opposing ideas that makes it seem like a good work study option. But to that end, it does sound like if we were to talk about changing how we use the lake for recreational purposes, that's where I know I was reaching out to some of these other staff members more involved with just that part of it. So I think with that, that's I think why I saw Barb Kincaid's video come on, but I just wanted to put a few of those ideas out there and kind of at the forefront before we move forward with this, possibly.
We have a Any further discussion? We David.
Just for this clarity of the record and to make Brenda's job a little easier, I just wanted to clarify. So the motion is to adopt this ordinance, but with the words dusk and dawn inserted into subsection I, and with all the words following with the permission of in that subsection deleted. Is that correct? Is that what we're voting
That's
on?
That's correct.
Okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Oppose? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing an addendum to SCORE agreement for inmate housing. Chief Kiblinger.
Well, good evening, Mayor and Council again. This will probably look familiar to all of you. This is our yearly addendum with the SCORE jail, the South Correctional Entity, for inmate housing. Their daily rates have not gone up for next year. They remain at $184 a day, obviously, unless there's additional charges for special housing. They did notify us as well that in 2022, they're going to be adding a booking fee. That's not for next year, it's for 2022, but that is just of note as well for the contract. Any questions?
Nope. So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1380, authorizing the mayor to execute an addendum to our SCORE agreement for inmate housing.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing a contract with Parametrics for a traffic impact facilities plan. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Well, I'm very glad to be bringing this before you to study the rest of bring in a traffic impact fee to help mitigate traffic. I'm going to talk a little bit about the what's involved in these studies. First of all, they're going to update the traffic counts within the city. So they'll be monitoring all these intersections around the city. And monitoring the traffic. That raw data then is fed into the computers, and they determine where all those update the traffic model, which then tells where all the cars are going. Then they look at the land use side of things, of where all the new trips are going to be coming from and where those trips are going to be hitting the roads. They evaluate the level of service at each intersection, and through different computer modeling, they determine what the level of service is at each intersection. So they've So those intersections that do not meet the level of service, then they determine over whatever the planning period is, what capacity adding projects are needed to maintain our level of service. So that's where the dollars come in, is building these capacity adding projects. Things like roundabouts, new roads, signals, that type of thing. Ultimately, we want to get to the traffic impact fee is $1 per PM peak hour trip. There's trips that are some trips that we can't charge for, things like Enumclaw trips that drive through town, or Maple Valley trips that are going south through town. So not all the trips that we counted or that are affecting our intersections are trips that we can charge for. We also cannot charge for existing deficiencies. But ultimately, we'll come to a, the study will cover the and back up the dollar per PM peak hour trip charge. And our hope is then that we'll bring forward to you after we vet the study itself, bring you a traffic impact fee ordinance. This provides some advantages to the city, and some of them listed are there in your paperwork, but I wanted to mention a couple others. One is that Puget Sound Regional Council is recommending that we have a contingency plan for funding our traffic needs. Right now we have a very good system that the developer is building our capacity adding projects as they're needed and as the city grows. But the development agreement may not be around forever. And so it would be nice to have this in place and not be caught without a funding mechanism once the development agreement is sunsetted. Also administratively, our current system, although it's working, it's not as simple and it has more administrative costs in running the system. So with that, we'd like to get started. And thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. And I appreciate the walkthrough, Seth, and including with the work that's being led up to this. It's nice to have this sort of be, or maybe for lack of a better word, it's nice, or it's at least fitting that we're talking about this right after we did discuss school impact fees. And I recall from the committee meeting, we talked about where that was the same and where it was different. And to me, it just seems like this is a very common sense way that we're going to make sure that we're helping to mitigate for that increased impact on our roads, especially because I know this is something that residents have come to us about. We have all this growth and now we want to make sure that our roads are being kept up. And to that end, I would like to see that we get this extra revenue source for our roads. Like that's, I think, the one of the biggest things that everyone in our city can agree with. To that end, I do make the motion to adopt resolution number 20-1381, authorizing the mayor to sign the professional service contract with Parametrics in the amount of $78,851 for a traffic impact facilities plan and a traffic impact fee analysis, and to appropriate $20,000 of additional funds from the real estate excise tax.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy.
So I know that this has been a long time coming. Even when Craig Goodwin was on council, we've talked about this. So I'm excited to see this going forward and look forward to getting that ordinance for the fees for traffic. So I know that, you know, the new development up on 169 is paying their share as well. So it isn't all Oak Point that's funding, you know, now with other development, they're also adding in to what they're going to impact on 169 as well.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the ordinance amending the 2020 salary schedule to add the senior planner as a funded position. Ms. Kincaid.
Good evening. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Council members. So this agenda bill in front of you has a couple of attachments. We've got an ordinance and then two attachments that show you the salary schedule as adopted and what is being proposed. As you know, the Community Development Department is busy We have we oversee building permits, land use approvals, code compliance. A lot of departments, community development departments, break down into current planning divisions and long range planning divisions. We just have a very limited staff and we try to do everything with what we have. We're also working on the transfer of development rights program, GMA compliance, which those two fall into the long range planning bucket, and park planning. So I know that we talked a while before about how we were doing with the COVID shutdown and the restart with building permits, and we had fallen behind. You know, we had a 3-month closure that when we opened up and started to do digital permitting was a slam in terms of the number of permits that we received. And so we are caught up with that part of it. But this position that I'm requesting would be for a senior planner to assist with doing current and long range planning functions. That person doesn't do permitting. They would do the review for land use divisions, so short plats and subdivisions, site plans. They would also be helping with the long range work for comprehensive planning and park planning. This is something that we had in the, we had funded, I think it was in the budget maybe a couple of years ago, and a senior planner would really alleviate the backlog that I'm facing now, which is in this, not in the permitting side of things, but now it's in actual the planning side of things. And so would, what we would do is in the budget now, we thought it's really funny because we don't have crystal balls, but we originally budgeted to have two building inspectors and two code compliance officers, thinking that, okay, we're going to have more building permits that we can, then we can keep up with. And the inspector that we have now is keeping up with the inspections just fine. So we never did fill that position. So what we would do is to recruit for a senior planner. There's no budget impact for in this year's budget because we have the savings, essentially the money that we didn't pay out of the budget to pay for that second building inspector. So no budget impact this year, but then we would need to, in the budget discussions for the 2021 budget, would need to talk about adding a line item for the senior planner and putting that into the budget. But the two attachments, it's really just the showing you the salary schedule on line 39, where it has senior planner, that wasn't checked. Now we have a check there because we would now fund this position. And this salary schedule shows you the ranges for that. But we, again, we do have the money in the budget to pay for that person through the end of this year without having to shift any money over that we from the general fund. We already have that in the community development budget to use. Can I answer any questions?
Dee Dee?
So Barb, how, you know, it's a really short, you know, time. We're already in September and then we're looking at budgeting up to, you know, the 1st of January for December. Mm-hmm. So how hard is it going to be to find somebody to step in?
I actually think it's going to be hard. I went onto the AWC website and there were five jurisdictions advertising for senior planner positions, but you know, hey, this is a nice place to work. And so we're, you know, I need to go out there and see if we can attract somebody to come in.
And I'm just throwing it out there. Is it possible, you know, to get, you know, to find somebody in their senior year in college and pay them for a 3-month working, or, you know, something to reach out to the colleges and find, you know, somebody, you know, I've been all for getting you help. I mean, every department in the city needs help. You know, we're growing so fast. And things, you know, this whole COVID is just, it's wreaking havoc on all of us, not just, you know, our work, but our mental health, you know, everything. So, you know, I think staff is doing an excellent job with what they're given. And I want to help you, but I'm just worried that it's going to be so hard to get you that help. And I want you to work.
Yeah.
Figure out how to reach out and get somewhere.
The problem is that we do need a senior level person.
Yeah.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Would it be easier to find a contract planner in that time frame? And like Councilmember Deedy said, right here we are at the beginning of September. By the time you get it posted and everything, and then holidays come in, you might not get somebody in place before the end of December.
It's
right?
True. We do have problem. We sort of have some. I shouldn't say problems, but we do bump into the union and their interpretation of being able to hire, you know, to hire somebody to fill in. Maybe we could get a temporary. That's certainly something to think about. But I feel like the effort to do that, maybe we should just put it out there and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering how we can get you help the fastest, right? So.
Thanks.
Because we know you're busy, we want you guys to get help. We just need to figure out the way. My other question was, what's the overall impact on the schedule? So will we still in 2021 be looking to hire a additional inspector? And then what's the price? I think the cost difference was maybe $5,000 a year or something like that in cost difference, right?
Right. Well, my ask for the budget for next year is going to be to add this senior planner position, to leave the second building inspector funded, position funded. Maybe we don't hire right away, but then also to add a second permit tech. So we'll see how that goes in the budget discussions.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was just to recap what some of the conversation that happened during the last planning committee session is we did have a very, I think, robust and really fruitful conversation around the costs and benefits that we'd be analyzing about adding each and any kind of potential position, and especially when we're on the senior level. You know, I think this gets to the point where, you know, now we're seeing cases where, like in your department, but also in others, Barb, where we do kind of keep hitting these walls where people are expecting a certain expediency and it's becoming difficult to communicate it in addition to just keeping up with those schedules. So I do understand that there's a sense of urgency in filling the position, but also to recap from that conversation, I also remember that we talked a bit about the importance of not having to retrain or to really have somebody who fits that position. And I'm glad that wasn't something we talked about as much in the committee, but I was thinking about it later that of course this does become a case where we're going to be adding that into potentially a collective bargaining agreement. This is a union issue. So we also want to make sure that we're honoring this along the way. And that even if we had something temp, I could see it being like, maybe that's a trial run of a potential candidate. But also at the end of the day, we're wanting to make sure that any effort you put in to train anyone is going to be somebody who ends up making, in the long run, maybe a lot of work up front, but in the long run, helping to expedite some of these cases, including with planning. So I know part of that is a conversation we had about opening up other positions in the city or expanding that role, because again, it might cost something to hire additional employees, but what are we going to get back out of it? And I think that was a question that we had about filling positions that are currently not actually fully being filled right now, or being filled in a way that I think might be most beneficial to us in the future is probably a better way to put it. And I think that's something that we do have to look at. I'm definitely in favor of adding this position tonight, but I just wanted to bring that sort of more to the record that we did have this really good conversation about that cost benefit analysis and what that would look like moving forward.
Councilmember Deedy.
So Barb, I think, you know, for next year, when you come to council, you need to bring those three positions and fight for those three positions. I really think you need those because all I see is growth mm-hmm. happening all over the city. And you know, like you said, we can't predict what's going to happen, but I think that the first of the year, you should have a budget that, if nothing else, at least puts two more positions in there to help you, because your department is going to be exploding. You know, I know you already are, but I just think that you are going to have even more on your plate come this next year. So I hope that when you come to council, you specifically ask for these three, and you know, and I'm hoping that council will help you with the mayor find that funding and Mae Miller. So with that, I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1149, amending the 2020 salary schedule as adopted by ordinance number 20-1137 to reflect budgeting and hiring of a senior planner for the Community Development Department.
Second.
Second.
Councilmember Page?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that same line of thinking. I really agree you need those positions. I think what would be really helpful, not only for the council, but also for the residents, Barb, would be to see some metrics in terms of showing that growth and showing the workload just in real raw data, because I think a lot of times public sentiment is, you know, resistant to adding more overhead. And I think if we can show that in raw data, I think it just quells that. So that's mm-hmm. the only comment I wanted to make.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's time for department reports, and Ms. Kincaid has requested to make a department report.
Thank you. Well, about those metrics. So I just wanted to just kind of point out that May's second quarter financial report for the Community Development Department, land use and permit fees, we anticipated a revenue of $1,202,550 at the end of June. Our actual revenue for permits, building permits and land use applications is already $1,103,732. So we're at 91, almost 92% of the volume that we expected to have. We have 176 permits that we received just in these last 3 months. We have about 1,600 active permits that we're working on right now. And so the growth is there. And certainly, I think being able to chart that out is a great way to display that, Councilmember Page, and I'll work on that. Just so you know, we have the Highway 169 development that is chugging along with the two sites on either, that's one's on Columbia, next to Columbia Bank, and then that bigger site that's further towards Maple Valley. Those are going to be commercial, they're proposed commercial sites. You probably noticed a little further up towards Maple Valley and across the highway where there's clearing and work being done right now. That's going to be the mini storage. They're under permit and under construction now. We have another land use application that is winding to a decision, and that's the also on 169 for another commercial site that would be a couple of pads. One would be for landscaping business, one would be for a bath fitter, and then two sites for sale or lease for some type of commercial activity. We've got several subdivisions happening. We've got the across from Lake Sawyer, the Tamarack senior housing subdivision that is also moving towards hearing examiner. So there's just a lot going on. We have interest that continues to come up every day. That little used to be a hair place across from the city hall that's in between the Kiwanis Garden and the old dinner house. We've got interest in that, whether or not that could be a take and bake pizza parlor. This is the place to do things right now for sure. So we really want to make sure that we are doing it well, and that we're, you know, mitigating for any transportation impacts, mitigating for, you know, environmental impacts, and making sure that we're true to the city's vision in our comp plan, making sure that we're, you know, we're sticking to design guidelines, the gateway overlay, all those things are terribly important. As this city builds out, we want it to look the way that it was envisioned to look in that comprehensive plan. I also have been working on the park plan update. As you know, we've talked about that, and I have a scope and a budget proposed from a planning consultant. And so we'll be talking more about that. Kind of excited, because that would be fun to actually get out there and start doing the park planning, and exciting. We're also, we've got that grant money that you accepted to buy some equipment for the gym, and Brock Deedy has the city's credit card, so he can buy that equipment for the gym. It's much needed. We're looking forward to that. We also have that grant money to look at some sort of a design charrette for the donated piece of property next to the museum. We're gonna get ready to put a schedule and kick something off there. So a lot of really great stuff going on. And if you ever have any questions about any of it, please feel free to call. And I neglected, of course, the mobile home park, the Rainier View Housing Authority, that they're looking at expanding. And so that's also on my desk to work on. So just a lot of great stuff going on. And I do hope that if you have questions or concerns, or somebody reaches out to you, by all means, give me a call. I'm always available to talk to you. Thank you.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, Barb, I do. There was a business that reached out to me wondering who did they speak to regarding expanding their business, restaurant kind of style. It would be, of course, you speaking to you, correct?
Yeah, and I think I already spoke to her this morning.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, she gave me a phone call. I said, I think you need to speak to Barb.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's another thing. It's just, and the multi-care building applied. So we finally have an application on the multi-care today. So, it's really pretty neat stuff.
Councilmember Page.
So just my understanding on the multi-care, is that going to be on close proximity to the mobile home park? Is that right?
It's going in, yeah. So when the Diamond Village complex was, the site plan was approved years ago, they were going to build several. They have a total of three pads there. They only built that back one. So now the multi-care will be in front of that existing commercial building that they have. So, and they're going to build, they're proposing to build basically just one building now. They have a whole layout where, as they build out, that looks really great. But right now they're just, they're requesting to build the shell of the one building. The bottom would be commercial space that they would lease out, and then the multi-care would be on the second story.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We also have a report from Chief Kiblinger on the police.
Good evening again. Just some basic couple things for the police department I'd like to update you on, including just kind of where we're at midway through the year, July. November 4th, we're going to have our promotional tests for the second sergeant's position. As you know, we froze that position probably 2 years ago. And we just kept it open until we felt we had some good in-house candidates. So that's a promotion that'll be effective next year, but we're doing the testing November 4th for it. The cars that we had ordered, well, we ordered them last November. They were supposed to be here in March, but because of COVID, they finally arrived 2 weeks ago. So they're now being outfitted up at FCI in North Bend. So hopefully we'll have those in the next couple weeks. You guys know that the one speed sign that we have in town that collects all of our data was stolen. Insurance was able to cover it. And then we ended up ordering a second one to place elsewhere in the city. But some of the data that I was going to share that is, I think, very useful. example is in June, the high speed and the, if you remember, it was on 224th Avenue, right about 304th. The high speed was 93, the low speed was 31. The average speed was 33 miles an hour. And they logged 68,675 cars. So it's good data for us to have. And even Seth, I think I've shared this data with him at times too for traffic. Let's see here.
93 is the high speed?
93. Yeah, well, you'll love this, Councilmember Wisnowski. When we first put that speed sign up on Lawson Hill, the high we got, this was probably the first month that we downloaded the data, was like 110 miles an hour. I'm like, okay, some kid's having some fun.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Two unexpected marine classes. So the marine classes that are held every year through state parks are typically always in April, but because of COVID, they were canceled. We got notified a week ago that they're going to put on two classes at the end of September. So I asked for three slots, and I got two. So two of our officers will be attending the Olympia class on the end of September to get Marine certified. Two significant cases we're working, just to note, just because they take a lot of time. We have a rape of a child case where we've had to do a bunch of search warrants on. And then, as you know, Pacific, maybe you don't, Pacific had a homicide. So Sergeant Lynch, who heads up our task force, has put in a bunch of hours on that homicide. I think he's written 13, 15 search warrants on that. So taking up a lot of time. Our domestic violence calls are up 75% from last year. I think we had 16 in all of 19. We've had 28 just since March. Our two reserve officers, just huge kudos to them, Tanner, who you know runs our Facebook page, just for the month of July had put in 46 hours. And then Pam, who started last year, but since January, she's put in 253 hours. So again, these are volunteers who are doing this for free and at a time right now when we desperately need it. So huge thanks to them. A big thanks to Kevin as well. He finished up securing an evidence room up out in the warehouse for us. Which has been in the works for a long time, and it's fabulous. It's organized. We've got room. It's great. Our DUIs for the year, we've got 24 through July. And then our total calls for service, which was interesting. I thought they were down because of COVID, because March and April numbers were, they took a huge dip, obviously. But we are at the exact same numbers now as we were last year, even with those 2 months being pretty much cut in half. So calls are still up if you didn't take into account the 2 months of COVID when life stopped for a little bit. But and then Kamal, if you've seen him, he's been out on the bike. We set some goals for him this summer, and he's been on the bike about 19 hours total this year so far. So that's been a great asset to the community as well. They like seeing him out there. Any questions? Thank you.
Great job, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Chief Smith, do you have a report?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay. All right, so real quick, I have two new recruit career firefighters. They start academy September 9th, and they should graduate from that about the end of January. And then they'll be, then they go through EMT school. Then they spend about 3 months riding with another career crew, and then we can put those folks on engine company. So looking forward to that. One is a replacement, and one is an additional firefighter, because we think we probably have some retirements coming up next year, and we don't want, you know, it takes a year and a half to get somebody ready to go on the road, so we want to make sure we have somebody when those retirement comes up. And instead of being short for a year and a half. New deputy chief should begin on October 1. As you know, Deputy Chief Mike Barlow retired, and we are in the process of hiring a new deputy chief. And it's actually a woman from Tukwila Fire. So we're pretty excited about that. We're excited about having somebody from the zone, because they'll know about 90% of what they need to know when they come to work for us. So that's great. We'll also be doing a captain's test, career captain's test in October, and that's just to establish a new list. We establish a new list for lieutenant and captain every other year. So they're 2-year lists. Participated in the phone conference, or conference, I guess it could be, with the public safety, the folks that you hired to work on the study, and there was May Miller and Andy Williamson was participated in that. We've completed the testing of all our fire hose, 8.1 miles of fire hose, and all of our ladders. Those have to be tested. Really, we have about 1,650 feet of hose that needs to be replaced, which really isn't too bad. That's probably about 25 sections, something like that, either 50 or 100 foot sections. Yeah, but most of our hose is from between 1975 and 2018. So there's some older hose in there. This weekend, 3-day weekend, 80 plus degrees, and we expect to have multiple people on the river. So we're kind of gearing up for anything that might happen on the, anywhere from the gorge all the way to Auburn on the Green River. We'll be busy this weekend. The 12-plex being built in 10 trails, that it now has a 24-hour security. We were kind of afraid with those buildings will be sprinklered once they're completed, but right now they're just big, huge piles of kindling without sprinkler systems. And you know, we had there was a apartment complex that burned down up in Everett earlier this summer. There was one a couple weeks ago in Seattle, and so I was very worried about that. So they put a 24-hour surveillance on that. Your new fire engine. I'll be meeting with one of my captains and lieutenants who will be going back to Wisconsin. They'll be back there on the 24th through the 26th for a pre-build, and so that'll be the start of the build for your new fire apparatus. So I think everybody's excited about that. The Lake Sawyer. I think the perfect place to take that would be the safety committee, because that's why they call it a public safety committee. If we're going to talk about safety on the lake, that's probably a good place to go. Lake Sawyer is the fourth largest lake in the King County, so it is a big lake. It's twice the size of Lake Meridian, so it's an important lake, and I think as you grow, you're going to see more and more people on it. So it's important we get a handle on that now, I think. That is all I have, unless someone has a question.
Thank you, Chief.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Botcher, do you have a public works report? Mr. Botcher.
How about that? All right. I wanted to pass on a few things. Updating you on the cottonwood piles on Railroad Avenue. Rainier Woods Recycling is scheduled for the last week of September. And let's talk about water. We're selling a lot of water. Water sales are up 7% ahead of projections, which were already pretty high. So that also means some good revenue for the water department, which is just in time, because with the higher base fees that we're having to pay for the capacity that's on the shelf from the city of Tacoma, we're able to pay those bills. So without the growth, that would have had to have been absorbed by the customers. So we probably would have had to have a pretty good rate increase. So I think growth hit about the right time for us. And because of the high demand, we supplemented our water supply with water from Tacoma here in August. and we repaired valves and synchronized the valves and the monitoring and the control telemetry to, it took a while to get that inner tie up and operating properly. And Tacoma was very helpful and worked with us in, because they had some issues with their telemetry and their valves, so repairs were needed. And I'm really glad that happened while, before Dan Del Santo retired, because it was just good to have his expertise in working through these issues. Sewer revenue is 15% ahead of growth projections. So that, or the revenue for sewer is 15% up. In stormwater, this, and during the summer, one of the things we do is inspect the outfalls. And what we're looking for is illicit discharge, signs of illicit discharge. So we do that periodically, but it's a summertime exercise. So that's actually going to be done tomorrow. The other high activity in stormwater is vectoring out the catch basins, getting those cleaned. And that's best done in the summer when the catch basins are dry. We don't have to deal with so much water. With street department, it's keeping all the blackberries and everything brushed back off from encroaching in the roadway and maintaining good sight distance. The crews were quite busy, even though that we had contractors paving the roads on 312th and Railroad Avenue and the chip seal, there was a lot of prep work that our crews did in preparation for those projects. Park use is very high. And one of the ways we kind of noticed that is there are just very large amounts of garbage being collected at the parks. And it's not illegal dumping there. You can tell it's not like in a bag. It's pop bottles and all kinds of party stuff. And it's appropriate park garbage. There's just a lot of it. We'll be shutting down the skate park as the substructure has failed on portions of the facility, and we're ordering some parts and scheduling a rebuild on portions of it. So we're just trying to hold that thing together until to meet our grant funding requirement. Putting tape around the skate park and close this doesn't work that well. So we are ordering fencing, temporary fencing to put around the skate park. Well, some other things, I guess Jamie mentioned that in the facilities that we completed the storage for the police, but we also completed some storage for the court. But the bids are in for replacement of the gym HVAC, so that will be moving forward soon. There's a lot of other, I'm just covering a few of the highlights, but there's a lot of other details. And I think what I do is just mail this, I can email a more comprehensive list of what's going on out to you. That's all I had, thanks.
Thank you. So I attended SCA's mayor's check-in last Friday. And then on Tuesday was the SCA South Caucus mayor's meeting, which there's six mayors, and three attended. And then last night was the SCA networking meeting. It wasn't a dinner, but a lot of the participants brought their glass of wine so that they could celebrate. And we had some breakout sessions, which was interesting, with some specific questions about COVID and how your city was doing and what you thought your citizens were doing. So it was interesting. And there was about 65 participants on that one. And now it's time for council reports. So Councilmember Wisnowski, you're up first.
Let's see, attended the public safety meeting today. We had some good discussions about future planning, space needs and things like that. I think we'll have to have kind of some further discussions as you know, we kind of, as the city grows, right, we need more space. So let's see. This weekend, as Chief Smith had mentioned, is a holiday weekend. So please, everybody, be safe out there. When I was a firefighter, I always I wasn't necessarily looking forward to holiday weekends like this, because it always meant that 2 a.m. call for a vehicle accident, right? Lots of impaired driving happening. Please don't. Please call somebody. It's worth the call. And the other thing, we got the email about the Cascade Paranormal wanting to work in the cemetery. Is that something we want to, you said we should just kind of bring it up as a, go ahead, Tammy. Oops, sorry, Councilmember Dede.
So I was going to talk about that as well, but I just thought that it is the first of the month right now. We still have another meeting before they want to come out. So maybe we could have Brenda put it on the calendar. I was kind of curious, did they want 2 days or just 1 day? And how many hours did they want out there? And, you know, we need notice sent to the residents. So I kind of didn't want to pass it tonight. I kind of wanted more information from, I think it's Kyle Richards, to know exactly, you know, what day he wanted. Was it Saturday and Sunday? He just kind of in his email just said the first weekend in October. So I didn't know what that really meant. And I think it's a great thing. We've had it before. We've had people out there before. We've had people out at the antique store and other businesses as well, looking for ghosts. And it, you know, it brings attention to our city. It's not a bad thing. It brings attention. It brings people here to wander about, spend some money at our businesses, have lunch, have dinner, or at any of our boutiques or restaurant businesses. So I think it's good. I would like more information.
Yeah, do we need to bring the cemetery board into that? Do they have a say in that?
Oh, no. It's just approval of council.
Okay, no. All right, yeah, I'm fine with bringing it up next time.
Yeah, so Brenda just put it on the agenda with a motion, and just if we could get that extra information.
Great. Just to wrap up the rest of my report, I just want to ask people to frequent our local businesses, right? We've got lots of great restaurants. We've got a brand new restaurant in town, a new nail salon in town. I would say, you know, don't forget our longtime businesses, right? Go out to make sure you get something from EJ's and from Italian Fresh. Get a pizza from Italian Fresh, and you know, visit the Eagles and all that kind of stuff. But you know, as we grow, we'll have more and more options out there. I can report that my wife and daughter have both been to the Mimi's nail salon, and both pleased with the care they got there. And it looks like everybody loves the food at the new restaurant. So everybody go out and help out your local businesses. Go down to Black Bear and buy some cool stuff. I'm going to have to like chaperone my wife going down there, but you know, it's all good. So just everybody take care and be safe this weekend. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I'll keep my report short today. I'm just mostly going to mention here that I attended both the planning and the public works meetings, and a lot of what we were discussing already kind of came up in that discussion. I would just reiterate that it's going to be very important as we're looking forward to the growth of our city that we are continuing to plan for those kind of higher level positions that will really help us to oversee that kind of growth in a responsible way, so that we are potentially helping to mitigate any sort of potential, like, you know, legal challenges or losses of revenue, et cetera. So I would just continue to impress on the fact that I think that it's really great that, for example, we passed tonight this additional senior planner. But I am hoping that going forward, we're continuing to think more about those same kind of positions as well. Otherwise, also just understanding that at the beginning of September, there's also, you know, students are going back to school and school personnel are coming back into whatever sense of new, I don't even want to call it normal, but this new kind of role in their profession that, you know, again, a lot of people, a lot of the workforce is just having to readapt and readapt on the fly. So just give that grace and understand, you know, that we're all going to be trying to relearn something until we can finally come back and see each other more in person. So that would just be my additional thing just to add on, is just being really mindful that with the start of the school year, to just give that same kind of grace, not only to the students, but as well to the staff as they're figuring out that new role. So thank you. And I'm also looking forward to continuing some really good conversations with staff and with the residents of the city who've been continuously asking about these questions that came up tonight.
Councilmember Page.
So last week I attended the finance committee meeting, and other than that, I would really just echo what my fellow council members have said. I guess, Chief Smith, I think that's spot on that it is a safety issue on the lake, so that might be a good place. But I really think the best results are the results that get input from everybody involved. So obviously, you know, the police are, you know, going to have some input on that. The public works is going to have some involvement in that. So I think that's really the biggest point I would make, is that I'd certainly like to weigh in on that and be part of that decision-making process. But nonetheless, I think that's an important issue. And I think it's one of those things where it's the old saying, you know, right, they're not making lakes anymore, right? So Lake Sawyer is the one lake we have in our jurisdiction. And so we have to, I think, protect it and keep it a desirable place for everybody to go to. So I think that's really important. And I guess to that point, this weekend is going to be a busy weekend. I think it's going to stress test the lake again with really good weather. So I always look forward to seeing our Marine Patrol out there. I think they do a good job. Just the mere presence of them out there, I think, makes the lake safer. And let's see. Yeah, so I just wanted to go on the record, even though, you know, I may be accused by my family members of having a lead foot. I was not responsible for that 93 mile an hour reading on the speed test thing. So anyways, that's the end of my report.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I attended the planning committee meeting and the public works. A little bit off of the boat issue, I think it would be best if it went to safety committee, and then from the safety committee come out and then have a public works, a meeting with the full council, a work study. That way you come out of safety meeting with the input from the police, input from the fire department, all the input that you've gathered, and then we gather together via Zoom and discuss what you guys have done, and then, you know, go from there. So I think that would be a good way to go about it. You know, obviously, once you're in your safety meeting, you could see if there's more information maybe that you want from the public works. I did notice, Chief Kiblinger, a lot of tickets during the time that I've spent over at the gym. I've watched a lot of people get pulled over coming down Lawson Street. A lot of people seem to think that street is a racetrack coming down the hill there. And thankfully, our police are right there to stop them, and whether they're giving tickets or warnings, I don't know, but I'm hoping that people will get the hint and that they need to slow down there.
Well, most of those people are out of town. They're coming back from the gorge. So like Chief Smith was saying, when the rivers are busy, it brings more people out there, and that's the majority of who's coming. So yeah, we've been busy up there. A lot of complaints we're getting from the residents on Lawson.
Well, I believe it. Yeah, those people are screaming down that hill. They're going fast. I'm glad to hear that the wood piles are getting picked up at the end of this month. Lots of residents that live around there and just people that drive by ask. And so I'm happy to now tell them exactly when they're going to get picked up. And as far as Brock Deedy with the credit card, you know, he is an employee of the city. He works 8 hours a week and gets paid for that for running the gym. I think he just got reinstated tomorrow, I think. He was, if technically, laid off during COVID. But now that some teams can come in, not teams, but coach and one player that they can coach, he's back up. And plus, he is looking for the equipment that Reagan Dunn brought forward, a grant for $5,000. So he is looking for all the equipment to purchase for that, and that will be notice to the city on what he's buying for the okay, and then going ahead and purchasing that. But it's just up to $5,000. And that would be for one of the biggest expense that I think it'll take up quite a bit of the money is a scoreboard that everybody really wants in the gym there. Especially last year we had upward basketball. We did purchase, the city did purchase new basketball hoops for the little kiddos, your kindergartners, first graders, so they can make a basket. So that was a really good purchase for us as a city, because that brings in more teams that want to practice there and bring revenue into our parks. And speaking of parks, I'm excited, Barbara, to see that coming about. I know that, you know, with parks and the TDR program, I can't even imagine the TDR program. I'm sure that takes up a lot of time. That's just mind-boggling in itself. So I'm looking forward to that. And a quick note to Chief Smith, I have your tables ready. So if you want me to drop them off or you want one of your crew to come pick them up, thank you for letting the community center borrow them for the garage sale. And I think that's the end of my report.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. I did also attend the planning committee and the safety committee meeting today. Just want to touch up on some events happening. Well, not really events, but I don't know if we want to call them events or not, but I do believe Tammy Deedy, the Eagles car show is happening this Monday at the Eagles. So make sure it's something fun, something local, something, get out there, support your community, your restaurants, and meet your neighbors and friends. Also, what was the other thing I was thinking of? Oh, crossed my mind. Just Labor Day weekend, be safe, stay cool, check on your neighbors. Yes, a lot of river activity happening. Be aware of that. You know, if you need a safe driver, call somebody. I Chris Nosky, you said perfect thing. Call your neighbor, call a friend. Don't take a chance to drink and drive. Other than that, I just look forward to all our committee meetings coming forward in the parks. That sounds great, Tammy Deedy. I look forward to that. And then, yes, with the police and our safety meeting, I look forward to working on that safety in the Lake Sawyer. I think that's a great job, and we should definitely move forward with that. Yeah, that is my report. Have a great Labor Day weekend, guys.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember Deedy, did you need to interject?
Well, I just, off of the safety issue with the lake, I just wanted to ask Chief Smith on the parking part, you know, is that affecting, you know, out there outside of the fire station? You know, sometimes when I drive by there, is an insane amount of vehicles parked on the side of the road. And I think, do we need to put signs up that say no parking, or do we need to look at another, some other way of people parking around there? So I'm just curious. Chief Smith?
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to do everything he possibly can to help Americans, that Democrats don't come back to the table.
Can't hear you, Greg.
Yeah, I'm trying here.
Okay.
Okay, there we are. Sorry, doing this from my phone and it's not cooperating. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So you asked about the, I don't know that we've had any problems with parking or cars. Are you talking about out in front of Station 98?
Yeah. Yep.
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
The only road I know we have problems with sometimes on the way to the lake there, and you know, where we have all the no parking signs. So, but other than that, I haven't seen an issue with parking.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Council Member Oglesby?
You're welcome.
Yeah, sorry, Chris, I took your spot there. bringing up on signs, there was a couple business members that brought to my attention down in the bakery area about signage and parking and how long parking is happening down there. I know a lot of business owners are concerned down there how many stalls there is and how many are being used for an all day parking with people going to Crystal Mountain, people biking. I'm wondering if it's a public works department or where we can discuss about having limited parking, saying, you know, only parking for 2 hours. And how that would work and how that we can help the businesses down there and allow more parking for residents and customers. They're only going to be there for a couple hours versus having them blocked all day long.
Didn't we talk about that in the public safety committee meeting a couple months back?
We might have. I just couldn't remember what our outcome, because we didn't.
Yeah.
I
don't know if we had a next step or an action item on that, but that's probably a good thing to think of and try to figure out, because we have gotten multiple requests from businesses to, if we could limit parking there to 2 hours, so we don't have, you know, like Council Member Oglesby was saying, people going to the mountain or cyclists parking there and being there all day. So can Brenda, can we put that on the next agenda for the Public Safety Committee?
For Jamie to put it on for the public safety?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
I'll get it added.
Okay. And I had one other thing that I forgot to add. Do we have an update on the open council position and timeline on that? Have we gotten a bunch of applications? Do we need?
We have one application so far.
Yeah, just one person has applied so far.
And did we have a close on that window that we have to worry about, or?
Well, it is coming up. I believe I'm thinking off the top of my head. I believe it's the 8th is when it closes. Okay. And then we are going to be doing interviews at the next council meeting on the 17th.
Okay. So for all the public that are listening, if you haven't applied yet, come join this really fun group of folks and apply. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay, Mr. Linehan, I think you're up.
Anybody else want to chime in? just a couple of things I wanted to call to the council's attention and then get your blessing on an idea. So first, just on the parking restrictions that were brought up a minute ago, that is something that's within the Public Works Director's authority to impose parking restrictions on certain places. So certainly, you know, work through your committees, decide what you think you're, if you have specific input you want to provide to Mr. Botcher, and that can be handled administratively through the Public Works Department, or if there's a reason to do it differently, you can also, of course, adopt an ordinance imposing parking restrictions, but usually the administrative route is a faster and more efficient way to go. On traffic impact fees, tonight you approved an item, a contractual item to get that traffic impact fee study going. I just wanted to let you guys know, because I know it's a high priority item for many council members, that we are actually working on the impact fee ordinance so that it will be ready to go as soon as that impact fee study is complete. And you guys have had a chance to chew on it for a bit. You won't have a holdup on getting the legislation adopted that would impose those impact fees. So just want to let you know that we're working on that ordinance, and we can have a study session or do whatever you guys want to do to help, you know, kind of get your brains wrapped around how that process works. You know, it's not quite as complicated as the school impact fees because you don't have a separate jurisdiction involved, but, you know, there may well be substantive questions about how impact fees work and how they're used for transportation improvements. So happy to do that. Just want to let you know that that ordinance is in process, so it should be ready to move along quickly when we get the study complete. And then the third thing, wanted to propose to the council adding an item to the September 17th council meeting agenda. One of the quirks of the TDR program, I know you guys are going to have traumatic flashbacks to the TDR program ordinance materials that you dealt with a little over a year ago. One of the quirks of our TDR code is that there is a particular type of TDR appeal that cannot be handled administratively through the Community Development Department. It has to go to council for approval. So there's one appeal item where there's an issue with how many development rights should be attached to one particular parcel. The staff is working on a staff report to present to the council that will provide the staff's analysis and recommendations of how that appeal should be handled, how it should be decided. But it will be up to the council to actually make the decision. It is a closed record appeal, which means you get presented with a package of documents and a staff report explaining those documents, and then you get to vote and decide how you want to handle it. And so I'm proposing, I think this one will be pretty straightforward. I don't think it will be a super complicated, or I don't think you'll get bogged down in too many details on this one. So I'm proposing that we add this closed record appeal item on that TDR appeal to your September 17th agenda. We'll have the staff report ready to go in time for the next packet that goes out with your normal packet materials. And so that item could be decided at that meeting. But the reason I needed to get your approval on getting that heard that day is we'll need to get a public notice out in the paper tomorrow. We need to send it to the paper tomorrow so it can be published next week, far enough in advance for that September 17th meeting. So unless you shriek in horror at the idea of having on the 17th, we're going to proceed with that plan. And so please tell me now if you don't like that plan.
I think it's fine. Move it forward.
Okay. I'm seeing head nods. That's good. Okay. I think you know that we had worked on putting a hearing notice together just in case the council was supportive. I'll polish that off tonight and shoot it to you so you can get it ready to go to the paper tomorrow. Does that work?
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't have an executive. Councilmember Deedy.
Sorry. So I know before David got to speak again, I know that there was some discussion about parking on in Old Town down there by the museum and the new business and stuff. And I talked to Seth a little bit today. Seth, you might want to hop on. He did talk a little bit about trying to get 8 more spots down there, making it so there isn't just a crosswalk there, but make it to where the whole area is more treated as a car pedestrian area. And also I mentioned to Seth that it would be nice if we as a city partnered with the Black Diamond Eagles Hall and helped them, you know, maintain or you know, supplied the resources to maintain the gravel and the grass seed. And they in turn would allow us to, you know, use their parking as overflow parking when, you know, so people would know that that was available. So I thought that maybe the city could reach out to the Eagles Hall and see about that. I think that's all. Bless you. there's a lot of great things that can happen in the parking issue down there. I know that businesses right now are worried a little bit about the new business. You know, right now they have dinners and they're staying pretty busy and they're taking up some spaces down there in Old Town. But if they became a lunch area, a lunch business as well, the concern was parking. What will happen for the other businesses, the museum, the antique store, the bakery and the meat market there, you know, what kind of parking for them? So when you bring that up into the safety committee meeting, that would be a good thing to also talk about.
I just wanted to remind the council, as I recall, we set aside some funding for some to study the parking in the downtown area, and Barb and I were going to be working on that, but we haven't had time to get into that this year so far. So understand that's an issue, but that's kind of so maybe that's step one before we just start jumping in and doing something, is maybe a comprehensive look at what parking properties are available and what are the various alternatives and what's the best solutions for the area.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So we are not having an executive session, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye. Get a second?
I think we were both saying the making a motion at the same time, so I figure I'll just second it in that case.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.